Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. Today we are joined by a very special guest. So when we started We Have a Meeting many, many moons ago now, our first hire was a young, strapping, charming young man that turned up to an interview day and we said, we've got to have him. Now, sadly, he will be leaving us tomorrow. So tomorrow will be his last day. He's worked on many clients over the time. He's going on to Pastures New. We'll probably let him talk about his new adventure and things like that. But we said to him, what can we do to support you before you leave? And this young man came to us and said, I want to be on your podcast. And we thought, you know what? Let's get him on the podcast. So here he is. It's our first ever employee. It's Mr. Yaya. How are you, Yaya?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you for having me on, Jack. It's been quite a journey since, you know, the first day I walked into the room to now being on the podcast. So yeah, feels good. I'm feeling good today.
It has been a journey indeed. I would happily describe you as one of life's biggest characters, and you've brought so much joy. You've worked in the Manchester office with me. You brought so much joy to our lives. So let's go back to the beginning. I'd like to hear it from your eyes. So where were you? What were you doing? What happened for an interview for Wham to come across your desk? And maybe talk us a little bit through that interview.
Wow. It seems like so long ago, but I definitely do remember the fine details, but I'll give a brief overview. So I was up in Manchester. I recently graduated from the University of Portsmouth. Then my mum made me do a master's because she said, you've done so well, you might as well carry on. So I went up to Manchester, came up here, loved it. And when I was doing the master's, if I'm being honest, I was just so tired of being a poor university student. So I wanted just to dive into the world of work. And luckily, my CV got picked up by a certain person who owns a recruitment company. And that person, luckily enough, had some great connections. And one of the connections was you, I believe, Jack or Zach. I don't really remember. But yeah, then I joined the interview, and yeah, I was a bit nervous, and there was a lot of things that, you know, I feel like made me stand out. And one of the things I did was do a rap. And yeah, I feel like that is probably one of the reasons why you guys were a little bit interested in me.
Can I make a request and you can say no?
Hit me with it. I do know what you're gonna ask, yeah.
Please.
That rap. Can we hear it again if you remember it?
I think I do. I make sales look easy. Make employees wanna be me. I just can't stop it. Hire me and I'll triple your profit. Look, no debating. Think of the cash we could be making. Think of the rev we could rake in. We have a meeting. That's my statement. Thank you very much.
God,
so good.
Still remembered it. Still remembered
so
it.
So good. I talk about that all the time when we have different recruiters. And even the recruiter we used, he had like that recruitment day format that you were on. Yeah, and just say this. Big shoes to fill. I've never had an interview that was like that, where at the end, me and Jack rang each other saying, it's got to be Yaya. It's got to be Yaya who gets put through. And was sales something that you knew you could be good at? And someone said to you, oh, you should get into sales? Like, what was the thought process of even starting that journey?
I think throughout my entire life, I've always been... Amongst all my friends, I've always been a bit of a salesman. I've always been the man who always has a scheme on the go, always trying to make some money. When I was younger, I used to be the kid that would sell like sweets and cookies on the playground to make some extra change. When I was, you know, in secondary school, I used to, you know, resell shoes, you know, designer clothing on like eBay. I've got like 200 sales on Facebook Marketplace, and I think it all stemmed from my mum, because back in when I was really, really young, she used to take me to Moroccan markets. You know, she's Moroccan, and she always used to just like haggle with everyone over like onions, vegetables, and carrots. And I think I just saw that, and You know, she is quite business savvy as well, so I think I'd definitely get it from her.
Nice. And I think one of your, well, you've got two key superpowers. One is, I always refer to you as a chief morale officer, right? I'm like, this guy is just a beacon. People around him feel good to be around you. And the other thing is, you seem to, maybe because of that, just have like an unshakable mindset. I know there's days where you'll have done the most dials, you'll have been there the latest, you're still in the trenches, not kind of giving up. So for people who are listening, what is the secret to having that bulletproof mindset? How have you developed it? What tips would you give?
I think in terms of mindset, especially in sales, I think something you have to realize is that sales has good days and sales has bad days. That's something that you can't change. No one's ever been able to change it. No one's ever had, you know, 100% success in sales, and that's with everything else in life. You do get, you know, you do get kicked off the horse, but you do have to get back on. And a quote that I made up in We Have a Meeting that I think Jack loves is, sales is like the weather. Sometimes it rains, sometimes it's sunny. Make sure you do the right things and bring an umbrella. So as long as you do the right things, you know that, you know, you're putting your all into it. There's nothing that you can, you know, sometimes you're going to have good days, sometimes you're going to have bad days. That's not going to change.
Always rapping, always with the rhymes. Beautiful, Yaya. Okay, so let's go back to that interview stage, because obviously we sat down with you, and then at one point you came to our first office in Manchester, and I remember you saying to me, like you said, like, my resilience will be like no one else you hire, and you have proved that during your time here. We're talking over 15-16 months ago. So obviously when you, it would be great feedback for us as well. So when it's a job interview, it's both ways. Like the same with sales, it's 50-50. You're interviewing us as much as we're interviewing you. So we knew that you were the right candidate. What did we do that made you feel like actually these guys are worth coming to work for? Was there anything that stood out to you, or in terms of like skills that you might improve on? Talk me through that.
I think the thing that attracted me the most was like the honesty piece. Like, there was no smoke, there was no mirrors. Everyone else in that call was saying, we can offer you 50 grand this, 60 grand this, we can take you to Mars, we can take you to Ibiza. I didn't hear any of that from Zach. The only thing I heard was, I can't do that, but I could definitely get you a beer and a pizza. And that is a man that I definitely want to work with. So yeah, that definitely pricked up my ears, the honesty.
And I think he did get you some beer and pizzas along the way. Okay, brilliant. So looking back now, young Yaya, he starts the job, okay? So you and Sam, you started on the same day. You both come in. If we could go back to that day and you could give yourself maybe a skill set to learn, or a big piece of advice, or something that you know is going to help you over the time here at We Have a Meeting, what would you go back and tell yourself?
I think I'll go back and tell myself to trust the process, and I think whenever people start sales, they always kind of have that thing where like, hey, I'm going to sell the product. It can do this, this, and this. It can make your life so much better. But I feel like with that kind of psychology, it doesn't really work. And I feel like when I first started, I was quite forced. I was like, we can do this, we can do that, you need this. But I think now that I've been in sales, it's not about that. It's about finding a problem, finding out the impact of that problem, getting that person emotionally invested in trying to solve that problem. So I think probably pushing people away instead of trying to make people like me is the piece of advice I'd like to give myself.
Beautiful. And if I remember rightly, your first day on the phone, you booked a meeting. So talk us through that, those first kind of weeks and months. I remember them very well. It was me, you and Sam sat around at two desks. I was squeezed in the middle between you. So talk us through some of like maybe your key memories from those first 3 months. Talk us through what you were doing.
What I was doing, I think one of the best things about starting was that I had two people on deck the entire time I was working. And I think that's probably why I, you know, did so well in, you know, the early months, because I had, You know, it was like I had a personal mentor, you know, right across from me from the table. And it's something that I feel like me and Sam definitely don't take for granted. Having you there just telling us exactly what to do. You know, after every call, you'd say, what could you do better? You know, why was that not? You know, how did that go? Why did that not go the way you wanted it to? And I think starting off, also having Sam there, Sam's been, you know, my right-hand man since I've started. He's always been there. And just having him, if I started the job by myself, I probably wouldn't be, you know, as good as I am now. I feel like having him in the office, picking me up when I was down, whenever he was down, I was picking him up as well. And yeah, having someone else there really, really pushed myself as well, because it wasn't nasty competition, but it was a bit of healthy competition. If we were both in a room and Sam booked a meeting and I didn't, I'd say, no, foot on the pedal, I need to book a meeting. And if it was the same the other way around. So yeah, I think definitely loved having Sam there from the start, really helped me out. And having you there as well really, really sharpened me. So yeah.
You mentioned an interesting point then around competition. So when we started recruiting, people were always trying to get us to say, you need people who are really competitive, dog eat dog, or jump over each other to hit commission, and not as much of a team ethic. So what is the role of competition, and what has it been as the team's grown, as people have come and gone? From you personally, how do you view competition, the team? Is it about being the best? What, how do you see it?
I definitely view competition as, I feel like there's definitely, you know, I feel like you can definitely be competitive in the negative aspects where you have kind of quite a lot of ego behind you and you think you're the best, so therefore you should be doing the best. But I feel like the way how competition should be viewed is, this person is doing this, there's no reason why I can't also do that as well. I feel like you should use other people's success to bring you up, because we're no different from each other. If Sam's in the room and he can book a meeting, that will bring me up, you know, in my mind and think, hey, I can also do that as well. I think that's how I view competition, not in the kind of ego-fueled way, but in the way of, if they can do it, I can also do it.
Okay. And you've become a cold-calling connoisseur over this time.
Thank
why,
you.
Why, for anybody listening, that sales team isn't cold-calling or they're not cold-calling, why should you cold-call? What's the point in cold-calling?
That's a great question. I think cold-calling, getting someone on the phone, is definitely the ultimate way of creating a relationship. You know, people don't buy products, people buy off people. And it's quite hard to illustrate, you know, how you are as a person through an email, through a LinkedIn message. But it's so much easier and so much better and so much more effective when you, you know, say a joke that someone thinks funny, or, you know, you really understand someone's problem. I feel like building rapport over the phone is definitely the ultimate kind of method in my mind. And if you're not cold calling, you definitely should be.
And what's something, you can be honest with us about this one because you're leaving anyway, what's something that we could do better that you've always thought, I wish they'd do that a little bit better? Everyone's got gripes with the bosses and the company they work for. We can take it.
We can take it. We can really take it. Don't hold back.
If I'm being honest, this has definitely been the best job I've ever had in my life, and I feel like it probably will be. I feel like if I were to say something, it would be nitpicky. I think the communication skills that I've learned through cold calling, I think the support that I've had has been amazing, and I wish good fortune and, you know, many blessings to We Have a Meeting, and I hope it has a great journey. Really, I have absolutely no qualms, Zach. Absolutely no qualms.
Too kind. We've not told him to say this for anyone listening, and we've not said potential clients might be listening. Okay, so you've learned this amazing skill set, communication, mindset, negotiation, all of these different things. I'm thinking of a particular example, and you might think of the same one, but you might not. You might take it somewhere else. But can you think of an example or a time where you've used these skills in your personal life, so not in a work setting to book meetings, where they might have favoured you or they might have helped you out? Is there anything coming to mind, Yaya?
I think I may know. I think I may know what you're talking about. Does this story involve me being stranded in any way? Okay, yeah, definitely got it. Yeah, there was... I think cold calling is great because of the communication skills that, you know, help during sales, but definitely help outside of sales. I was stranded in a city, and there was a train that, you know, was completely just shut off, no warning, no nothing. And, you know, it was a whole station just filled with people and, you know, just arguing with the managers at the station, just saying, my train's here, I'm going to be, you know, I can't go home, all this and all that. And the only thing the manager was saying is that, you know, there's nothing I can do. You guys just have to kind of fend for yourselves. And I was, yeah, I had to get back to Manchester because I had work the next day. So I was a bit scared, but in my head I was like, I'm just going to call Jack, I'm going to be honest, and maybe he can even give me some pointers. So I just laid it down, I called up Jack and I said, hey, I'm stranded in the city. I don't even have a place to stay. What do I do? What should I do? I got work tomorrow. And then Jack, you know, as smart as he is, I feel like he gave me a bit too much freedom with this, but I love him for it. He just said, hey, you're a salesman. You've learned these skills. Go prospect. Go find a solution to this problem. So I said, okay, I'll try it. I might as well just give it a shot. So I got my laptop on my bag. I got my phone. I turned on my hotspot. I went on LinkedIn and I got to work. And eventually after, you know, emails, texts, some calls, I got through to someone who's very high up in the kind of train company. I'm not going to say her name. She was lovely there. And I essentially said, hey, you're probably going to hate me for this, but I've actually been stranded in the city because of one of your trains, and I was wondering if you could get me a hotel room for the night. And she said, who is this and why do you have my number? And then obviously the communication skills came in and, you know, we calmed down the situation. And then she instantly hung up the phone. And then I thought, okay, you know, it's over. Then she actually gave me a call back 10 minutes after and said, hey, actually, you know what? It's not fair. You shouldn't be stranded. Let me help you out. And at the end of the whole process, I managed to get a free hotel room and a £20 voucher to spend at the restaurant for dinner. And yeah, I think that is definitely one of the best examples of using cold calling outside of work.
So that's an amazing example of using some of those skills in real life. Have you got any other examples of where you've used it, maybe with a girl at the bar or with your friends to diffuse a situation, and any of the tales where it's coming useful?
I mean, I think I'd be a liar if I said I never used my skills on my ex-girlfriend when I didn't know what to say or when I wanted to get out of a sticky situation. I think mirroring probably definitely helped quite a lot. Labeling definitely probably helped a lot. You know, it sounds like you'd hate me if we went for dinner again instead of cooking at home. I think definitely I feel like the skills are quite subconscious as well, even when you are, you know, even when you're completely unaware that you're using it. Someone just turns around and say, can you stop using your sales tactics on me? I'm sure you've had it, you know, Zach, when you've just been talking to people like, are you mirroring me on purpose? And you're like, no.
I actually did it to Jack when I was trying to teach him the mirroring side of things for about 10 minutes before he noticed. I do it with everyone when we're training that bit. You just keep doing it. So when you look back on your time with us in terms of core memories, the way you'll remember it, what are the key things that stand out of that was a great time, I really enjoyed it, I'll always remember? Things that we've done, days in the office, what sort of things stand out?
I think probably the funnest time that I've ever had at We Have a Meeting was... It was quite ironic because one of the things that you said that you couldn't do was take me on holiday. And within the first couple of weeks, you said, actually, guys, we're all going to Prague. And that was a great experience. We went to Prague because there was a client that we are going over to see. And it was literally the first time I've ever met, you know, Jack and Sam in my life. And all of a sudden, we're just going on a just going on a holiday. And I think going to a whole new place that I've never been before, you know, doing things I've never done, I've never had business meetings or anything like that in my life, was really eye-opening, and it was so fun. It was an unbelievable experience that, you know, I'll never forget. I think definitely the highlight of my time at WAM.
Do you know what I remember about Prague, Yaya?
Maybe.
Well, there's a few things. We had lots of fun. My memory is me and Sam were there, and we were waiting for Yaya, and then I get a call, "Where are you? I'm here." And then Yaya walks into the airport with the biggest suitcase you've ever seen. And I said, "It's just hand luggage, you know." Oh, right, I didn't realise. Right, how are you going to get that on the plane? So we had to go and check it in and then wait for it, all the rigmarole. It was just, yeah, I'll never forget that. You've been, like Zach said earlier, a real beacon for happiness and joy. But one of the other things I'd say is you're probably the cheekiest employee we've ever had. A lot of the things that you ask are just like, did he really just ask me that? I could probably think of about 30 examples just from this morning so far. What do you think your cheekiest ask might have been? Go on. If there was anything from the top of your head, what might you say?
The cheekiest ask. Wow. I think that's a really good question. I think probably there's a lot of times where I'd just come up to you, Jack, and I'd say, "How many meetings do I need to get today for you to buy me a meal?" And then you'd be like, "What? What? It's like, yeah, how many meetings do I need to get for you to, like, get me a Blues Kitchen, like, get me some fried chicken and chips?" And you'd be like, "I don't know, 3? And then that would literally push me so hard. I'm like, I need to do it. And a lot of the times what I say to myself as well is like, "Jack, do you think I can't do it?" And then you'd be like, "What?" Like, "Yeah, do you think I couldn't get 3 meetings in the next hour?" And you'd be like, "I don't know." I'd be like, "Right, I'm going to prove you wrong." So, yeah,
I feel like food is a normal thing, but like some of the requests you've had, how many meetings do I need to book over my time for you to buy me a camera, to buy me a train ticket, to buy me a flight?
The summer party one? Do you remember the summer party one, Yaya?
I don't think I do, Zach.
The first summer party, you rang me in the morning. I'd just left the hotel, and we really shelled out on that summer party. Probably like Ben wasn't with the business yet, who looks after all the finances and stuff. I don't think he would have let us do that. And the next morning my phone rings. "Yaya, what's he want?" And a little text was before it that said, "Please ring me." I thought, "Oh my god, he's been arrested. We left you guys at a certain point so you could be young people and do young people things." So I rang you back with urgency, like, "Does he need bailing out? What's happened?" And you said to me, "How do I ask you something you're not gonna like?" I was like, "Just ask me. Sales skills, the dangerous in the wrong hand." "Well, we're all really hungover in the hotel room and don't want to leave for breakfast. So is there any way you could buy us all breakfast and have it delivered to the hotel?" Unbelievable.
I did do that.
I'm quite good at telling you no.
I think it comes from like the premise where it's like you don't get if you don't ask, and for me, I feel like I'm not very shy. I'm quite outgoing, so I kind of take that to the extreme, and I feel like that's also part of the reason why you guys hired me, was because of the fact that I'm not scared to kind of ask those questions. I'm not scared to kind of, you know, tiptoe over the line, and you know, I understand it definitely can be annoying, but it's just who I am.
You're just who you are. Okay. Anyone listening who's not worked in sales or does work in sales, a twofold question. Why should somebody work in sales and why shouldn't somebody work in sales?
I feel like you should work in sales if you want to definitely learn a skill set that you can use for the rest of your life across so many different paths and journeys. I think it's undeniable. Communication, people skills, even discipline, mindset can all be learned through cold calling, all be learned through sales. And I think that's probably the best skill set that you can learn from a job. I feel like you shouldn't get into sales. Actually, no, you should always get into sales. I'm joking. I feel like you shouldn't get into sales if you kind of want to coast and, you know, just want a job. You just want to go in, do your thing, and then leave. I think if you want to get into sales, make some money, work hard, I think the options are there. I think it's all there for you. It's all there for the taking.
Good answer. Good answer. And what's next? So you're leaving us, you're leaving Manchester. What's next? Talk us through the next chapter of your life.
Next chapter of my life. Well, first thing I'm doing is going on holiday for 2.5 weeks. I'll be in sunny Morocco on the beach, just with a nice little drink in my hand. What I'm doing next, I'm going to go back to London. I'm going to go back to my family. I haven't lived at home in quite a while, and I miss my mum. You guys know how much I love my mum. Before I accepted the job, I asked them if I could have a couple of days to talk to my mum about it.
He's gone.
What's happened?
I think he's just remembered that he needs to call his mum and ask her if he can be on the podcast.
What has happened?
Right. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see him again. He might have just quit early.
He's just going to talk to his mum.
That was Yaya. That was Yaya El Said. He's banging on the door now. I'll get him in and we'll get some parting word from him. This is it. This is live entertainment. Yaya, come over here. Come and sit on my knee. Give some parting words before you leave. Okay. You tell us. We can hear you. We're loud and clear. Tell us some parting words.
Some parting words. I wish everyone at Wham a great future. I wish Wham does some incredible things, and even though I'm not part of the team, I will always be part of the team right here.
My guy. There he goes, and he's wearing a client t-shirt. Right, thank you very much. That was Mr. Yaya, an incredible employee. We're going to miss him, and on to bigger and better things. Good luck, Yaya. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.